Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business, the News Hour. Grateful you are listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to reside. With me is Stephanie Morris. Stephanie is a return visitor to the News Hour. She is the director of something called the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa. Now, don't get nervous. We're not going to just spend all this time talking about Central Iowa, but we are going to be talking about refugees, immigration, jobs, business, all of those things that center so heavily on the issue of refugees. And one of the surprising things, just to call this up, is that recently the Des Moines Metro has been recognized as a real mecca, excuse the pun, for individuals who come from other countries because of, what I'm told, a welcoming system in that part of Iowa. We're going to talk about that and much more with Stephanie Morris. Stephanie, welcome to the Business News Hour. So grateful that you've made time to be with us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right. So let's talk about, first of all, define for us what is the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa.
So Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa, or ROASI, is a collaborative of stakeholders within our community who are vested in seeing Central Iowa as a welcoming place for refugees and immigrants.
So what I said, is that accurate about Central Iowa being a place where refugees can feel comfortable?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Iowa historically actually has been a leader in refugee resettlement, actually around the world since the 70s.
And why?
Well, originally, it was because of Governor Robert Ray, who was instrumental in helping to bring thousands of people from Vietnam and Cambodia to Iowa after 1975. So what actually started the modern refugee resettlement program, not only did he agree to take people into our state, but he actually went to D.C. and wrote many times and just fought to bring more and more people here. He actually was instrumental in keeping 3,000 Thai Dom refugees together, resettled together here in Iowa, which is just wasn't how resettlement was done at the time.
You bring up the name of Robert Ray, former governor of the state of Iowa. That was in another day, in another time. Governor Ray was a Republican. I would suspect, and this is not a knock on any party, we don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but from the word I get and from the watching that I do, his form of governorship and his form of leadership as it relates to refugees and people from other places is vastly different than the current GOP. I don't want you to get political, but I mean, we see it all over the place.
Yeah, Governor Ray was, I think, is remembered very fondly by most of the refugee communities that were resettled in Des Moines. I know that many of our Vietnamese community leaders were a part of his funeral and spoke at his funeral, but he was very adamant during that time after watching some footage of a CBS special of what was going on in Vietnam that you couldn't consider yourself a Christian and not do something.
Interesting statement. We are talking with Stephanie Morris, ladies and gentlemen, Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa, and we're talking about, obviously, refugees and the history of the Hawkeye State as it pertains to being a welcoming place for people who are not indigenous or who didn't originally maybe settle this part of the country. Stephanie, one of the things that I hear from business leaders, not only in Iowa, but all over the United States, is the difficulty in finding qualified workers. How does the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa and business, how do you coexist?
We work with there are three resettlement locations in the state. There are two in Des Moines and then one in Cedar Rapids, but we work with resettlement agencies and then all vested community partners, of course, but ROASI also has individual work groups that work together with stakeholders, invested parties to identify gaps in certain sectors and then to find solutions. And so one of those, we actually historically have always had an employment group, which has actually merged recently with some of the other work groups to create an economic mobility group. So it has a focus on employment, on housing, and then also financial education. But these both groups are, bring together people from Iowa Workforce Development, from larger employers, from the resettlement agencies themselves who have their own employment specialists, to be able to identify jobs not only that are available and open already to refugees, but potential other employers who are willing to take a chance and hire refugees, especially after seeing the massive successes that a lot of our local employers have had that have historically employed refugees.
One of the startling things as we look at the census that was recently taken, there are more people moving out of Iowa than are moving in to Iowa. Meanwhile, the only area that I saw in the census anyway that is expanding its population is central Iowa and the Des Moines Metro. So this is another play point, I would think, with regard to business and industry taking a very aggressive stand to be assistive with relocating refugees in the state of Iowa, because quite frankly, our population is aging and many individuals are leaving the state. So is that a discussion that you're having with business?
It definitely can be. I think that if you look around the state, there are a lot of industries that definitely employ large amounts of refugees and immigrants and would like to continue to do so moving forward. I think people traditionally think of meatpacking or food production, but it also extends into manufacturing, both large and small scale as well. We have a lot of employers who have incredible successful models of ways that they've helped to hire, refugees from specific communities. So they may have one person on board who can serve as translator for each shift, but then, that kind of takes care of any kind of OSHA issues that people may think of. But there are many employers across the state, not just in central Iowa, but we have small town communities throughout the state whose economies have just very specifically been revitalized and even saved by refugee and immigrant communities.
Stephanie Morris, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She is the director of something called the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa. We're talking about all things considered when it comes to business and immigrant population. Let's talk a little bit about the biggest barriers to successful integration of people from outside of the United States or from outside of Iowa. What are the biggest barriers? You mentioned employment and housing, those types of things. I suspect that those are pretty big issues.
Yeah. So when people first come through refugee resettlement to Iowa, they actually arrive in debt. They have to pay back their plane ticket costs and travel expenses to get here. Then when they get here, and oftentimes we're talking about families, they have to mitigate and navigate the education systems and healthcare and employment and transportation and housing. And they only have assistance from resettlement programs for 90 days. So not only are they having to figure all of this out, but they're doing it in a different language. And then they're only most like the formal resettlement program itself offers assistance for 90 days.
90 days. All right. So let's talk about that debt. How far in debt is a refugee when they come to our shores?
Sure. I think that would depend on where they were coming from and how many people were in the family.
Right. Well, let's take a look at, say, Africa. There are lots of individuals I know in Iowa who have transitioned from Africa to the United States and then to Iowa. I imagine that's a significant amount of money.
It definitely can be, especially if you're talking about one parent who has multiple children, then that can oftentimes accrue to a pretty significant amount.
Is there a pathway to citizenship for these individuals once they do arrive as a refugee in the United States?
Yeah. Yep. Refugees, when they come here, whether they're reunifying with family here or if they're on special immigrant visa or an SIV, those are people that oftentimes help the United States military overseas and then come here on that visa, or just a refugee, like a normal refugee visa. All of those individuals are eligible to apply for citizenship later.
One of the things that you mentioned as far as a barrier to coming to the United States or to Iowa is the fact that there are so many different languages and that they may not speak English. One of the, I think, startling things about the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa that I know because I follow your regular emails, your newsletters, is the translation services that you are providing to others so that they can get whatever that message is across. How many languages are you and your people familiar with?
Sure. So in Central Iowa, I can tell you that in like Des Moines Public Schools, that's oftentimes where some of the best data comes from. There are 148 languages that are spoken, and that's by students of 10 students or more. And then, so Rossi, ourselves, we are not a service provider. Our goal is to be able to connect all of these service providers with the agencies and departments that have needs, like the Department of Education. Like Des Moines Public Schools has an incredible internal program for their translation needs. But for the past year, for example, during this pandemic, as people have needed access to emergency information, to be able to find vaccines, to be able to get those vaccines scheduled. We've actually worked together with Iowa Department of Public Health and Lutheran Services in Iowa to create basically an ELL or English Language Learner version of 211. And that's actually in partnership with
211.
Yep, that's in partnership with 211 as well.
What is that?
211 is a free number that you can call, anybody can call, to find access to if they have an emergency with housing, if they have an emergency with food, with shelter, with a domestic violence situation, if they need emergency counseling, basically any emergency that could come up in someone's life, they can call 211 and be connected to services that are available in Central Iowa.
There you go. I had no idea that that existed, and I've been around a long time. Everybody calls 311, because that's emergency police department, but there's been so much discussion around, are the police officers the people that you should be calling if there are these kinds of situations going on, because many are not trained to be able to handle that. So 211 is the number.
Yep. 211 is across the state. If you ever have a financial or health emergency, mental health emergency, that's a number that you can call to be connected to resources. I know that for a while, people were being told not to call their doctor to find information about COVID when it first happened. They were being encouraged to call 211. But at the time, we had to provide some additional services to make sure that people that don't speak English also had access to that information.
Stephanie Morris, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking about refugee and immigration issues within the state of Iowa, but even generally across the United States. Let's talk about the business of RACI, the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa. How do you exist? I mean, where's the money come from? How do they pay you that big salary, Stephanie?
That big salary. That's pretty funny. So RACI is actually a nonprofit funded by nonprofits. So we're the definition of not having money. But that's, at the end of the day, really long term. I mean, the best case scenario for RACI is that the current way that we exist and having to advocate alongside and on behalf of a lot of communities, that would change. So our budget is very small because we want people to support the people that are out there, actually the organizations that are out there actually doing direct services. So Rossi's actually, I'm the only paid employee. I bill 20 or 30 hours depending on the crisis. But yeah, I mean, we're funded by the agencies that are vested in this work. And, you know, just have partners kind of across the nonprofit realm and, you know, the city and state and county. And, you know, they definitely see the value of making sure that at the end of the day, that all of these agencies that are, you know, operating on very small budgets themselves come together to make sure that we're leveraging existing resources and programs, that we're not duplicating services, that we're being as efficient as possible with the limited funding we do have, so that at the end of the day, refugees are being served the best they can.
Now, the month of June is being celebrated and marked as something important to you and your cause. Talk to us about that.
Sure. So UNHCR is the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, and that is the international agency that processes all 24 almost million refugees that are currently displaced around the world. They, a while back, designated June 20th as World Refugee Day, and that's just a day that we honor and recognize the journeys that refugees take to get to our community and to the innumerable ways that they make Iowa a better place to live for all of us. So we have quite a few different events that we're offering this year. We have a restaurant challenge where you can download a list of refugee and immigrant-owned restaurants and grocery stores and pay their businesses a visit in order to take out or get products from them. We also have a history of refugee resettlement fact walk where you can burn off some of those calories. This weekend, the fact walk is found at the West Des Moines Library, but it's at different parks kind of throughout the month of June. You can find out where on our website. We also have an origami butterfly project, which is on display throughout the city, and families can participate in their home and just on any level that's comfortable for them. And then additionally, we have a FIFA soccer video game tournament where especially like our younger crowds can get involved. We typically have this massive in-person celebration where we see well over 1,000 people. That includes cultural performances and soccer tournaments and food from, you know, 20 different restaurants. It's an all-day event. But of course, with COVID, this is going to be virtual this year. So this is a way that we can still have people get out and play soccer. And there's some prize money there available for winners. And then lastly, we also have some of the performances, so some dance groups and some music groups that will be performing at the Global Greens Farmers Market, which is a former refugee farming program that teaches people that come here who have agriculture backgrounds how to navigate the agriculture business in the state of Iowa, which oftentimes is very different, and then, you know, how to set up their own businesses as well. So at that farmers market this Saturday, we will actually have a Bhutanese dancing group. We'll have a Somali fashion and dance group. And then we will also have a Karen, which is a ethnic minority from Myanmar, dance group as well. And then the last event is our storytellers program that is something that we're very excited about, something that we wanted to do for a long time. But we actually were able to partner with Telenact out of Boston, who has storytelling on. They have a national television show. They're on The Moth and Risk, and she's a TEDx facilitator, but their director was actually in refugee resettlement for 25 years nationally and internationally, so is really able to help us curate this event on the level of integrity that our communities deserve. So we have storytellers from Bhutan, Syria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ethiopia, and Bosnia, and will be hosted and moderated by Vinh Nguyen, who came here from Vietnam in the 70s.
Amazing lineup of stuff going on. Who knew?
And that storytellers event is free for anyone to attend, and it's actually something that you can attend via Zoom, actually from the comfort of your own home, this Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m.
All right, I have to ask because I don't know, but we will have links, ladies and gentlemen, to the RACI website, or RACI website, so that you can see exactly what's going on. And I suspect that there are links out of there to get involved in all of these things, yes?
Definitely.
All right. Stephanie Morris, thanks so very much for spending time with us. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
The words and the work of Stephanie Morris. She is the director for the Refugee Alliance of Central Iowa. And yes, we do have links to their website on our radio blog. Some local stuff and some national stuff going on as it pertains to immigration and refugee status. Good stuff. All right, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Stephanie Morris, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.